Bei Action gibt es immer extrem niedrige Preise. Diese Woche 50 Palazzo Kaffeebecher XL-Packung nur 5,77 oder weiche Hotel Royal Handtücher nur 2,48. Angebote, die richtig glücklich machen. Für noch mehr extrem günstige Preise einfach in einer Action-Filiale vorbeischauen oder in der App stöbern. Action, kleine Preise, große Freude.
Just giving you a little bit of warning. Coming up, Bob Saget will be joining us. Bob's got a new TV show called Nashville Squares, a la Hollywood Squares, and it premieres this evening on CMT.
Cool.
We'll look forward to it.
What do you think Center Square is these days?
Well, since it's a brand new show, I don't know.
I guess it's hard to, yeah, we wouldn't be able to.
But that was all in.
That was always the coveted spot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell Chick. Hey, Christy says it's not Paul Lind.
Well, that would be.
Hey, Christy. I'm back.
Christy said that.
Okay, well, since he's deceased.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Way dead.
Wherever he is.
I can give you a list of Hollywood.
I bet he doesn't smell too good. I can tell you that.
Right, Tom, tell Chick what Bob Saget just tweeted.
Oh, I will.
Mr. Saget just tweeted he was listening to the program and he heard Ace's joke, and I believe he gave. How exactly did he word it?
He respected it.
He respected the Ace Cosby gingerly joke.
I told you to save it for when he was here.
You've heard of people being kind, right? Yeah, never entered your mind, though, did it? You need to teach like a positive training seminar or something. Positive thinking.
Here comes my buddy Bob.
Positive thinking seminar. That's what you need to do.
Sit down.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Mr. Saget is just entered the room. Hey, Bob, how are you?
You talk quiet.
Introductions. This is Tom. Wait a minute. I'm Tom. That's Ace, the jokester.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
Chick like chicken.
That's, right.
That's Josh in his Dinty Moore beef stew audition outfit. And Christy Lee is wearing the lovely pink. Now
you all look amazing.
Well, thank you.
It's like a tribunal in Star Wars.
Thank you.
Except as boring.
Now, not the new one.
Bob, the new TV show.
Yeah,
I have very little information about it. Who is
that? That's all you need.
Who's the center square?
It starts with Marie Osmond, and then it morphs into Tanya Tucker, and there's alcohol on the set, so it's basically Hollywood Squares with booze.
Hollywood Squares was Hollywood Squares with booze.
It was, but they hid it underneath.
Well, I read that Paul Lind, they finally had to get him, they had to have him limoed over all the time because they were concerned that he'd kill somebody driving in.
Oh.
That he was a very, very intoxicated driver.
His car was actually parked right behind the nine squares.
That's how close they
He was just barely making it. They didn't open the barn door. But I was offered the original Hollywood Squares. By the way, how are you?
Good.
It's great to see you.
I know. I was in here a long time ago.
Well, I saw you. I'm trying to remember if it was at Catch a Rising Star or the Improv. I was in college in New York City.
Yeah.
And I saw you. I mean, this is before anybody knew who any of these guys were.
Seinfeld, probably.
And I'm thinking it might have been, what's the guy's name? Oh, sadly, I've forgotten his name. I'll think of it in a second. But I saw Seinfeld.
Alive?
Gilbert Gottfried. Who was the guitar comic? It was so nice. Glenn Super.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Bullhorn. Sweet guy.
Some coffee would be nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he did the Miller, was it Miller Lite?
Yeah, the thing, the bill, Mr. Bullhorn.
He was in a couple of movies. But I think I saw him and you in the same bill one night. Was it Catch a Rising Star?
I think so. I played catch a lot when I was starting out.
And you had a guitar?
I did. I was a guitar act. I used to sing while my guitar gently weeps, and I would turn a valve on the back of it, and water would pour out of a shampoo bottle and drip all over my legs.
That is amazing.
Well, it's amazing, but the problem is with a prop bit and a parody. It wasn't a parody, but it was, why would I be singing a George Harrison song at 22? The only people that saw it are the first two rows. And then I opened for Gino Vannelli at Buffalo Memorial Auditorium, and I did it there with 16,000 people, and no one saw it. No one knew why I was singing. And then I held the microphone, and water had poured on it, and I got electrocuted. I literally got electrocuted.
This is going to sound. I love Gino Vannelli.
Gino Vannelli.
I just want to stop.
And he did.
Yeah. Finally stopped.
She's on too.
Remember he had a massive chest hair?
Yeah.
On his album cover.
And,
yes.
I think he had some kind of kielbasa in his pants.
I think he might have. I think he might have.
He added it with the duct tape.
Wow.
Huge door.
Bob Saget has just entered the room. So I want to get back to those days. But first, getting back to contemporary culture and the new television program debuting tonight on CMT.
Yeah, it's going to be. This is so
did you,
funny.
Did you have to audition for this? How did this happen?
No. I got a phone call that said, please do it. And then a truck backed up and money bags came off of it.
Oh, good.
No, I don't audition unless it's like Martin Scorsese. I auditioned for Vinyl because I wanted to be in that. And then Ray Romano ended up with the part, and he was superb, as you say.
I watched every episode of that, and Ray was great in that.
Ray was so good. And I hear he's amazing right now. In The Irishman. I hear he's fantastic. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he is.
And he's a dear friend. And I'm sure he's been on the show a million times.
In fact, when Everybody Loves Raymond first went on the air, they flew Ray out here twice, right in the very beginning. And then his sidekick, Brad Garrett, is a really good friend of the
Never show. Heard of him.
Yeah, right?
Brad Garrett.
He is taller than me.
Yeah.
But my wife is older than his, which is good.
Okay.
That's a math problem. I'm not sure I get it.
Well, neither he or I. We kind of led the same kind of life. We were divorced, and then we dated people that were obviously younger than us, because how much older can you get? And we never really did anything heinous, you know? So there's been no lawsuits or Twitter, because I always say, in my last special, which was called 0 to 60, I said, I'm the only television father left that you can trust. you can't trust me. I get all my devils out in my stand-up, but they're not even that devilly anymore.
Do you remember Brad Garrett's Sinatra story?
No.
Oh, this is a good one.
It's not the Don Rickles one,
no,
right?
No.
Brad Garrett, he would come in here all the time. And by the way, I actually saw Brad Garrett one time never take the stage at a show and get a standing ovation. He just came out and walked around the audience, no mic, screaming at people.
Yep.
You were there.
I was there.
No, he was opening for Mr. Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
And and it was at a very large venue, and he did his this is before he was well-known, before he was on TV or anything. And
right.
But he's very, very funny, one of the funniest people ever.
And extremely.
Finishes his set, and then he goes, my name's Brad Garrett. Stick around for Frank. So then later that you can, he'll verify this. Later that evening, a large fellow who looked like he may have been a Teamster walked up to Brad, who is, as you say, 6'9", somewhat formidable. And he, this gentleman took Mr. Garrett and picked him up by the collar up against, as I recall, it was a brick wall, much like those in a comedy club, and said, we're not going to be doing that again, Mr. Sinatra.
That might have been Jilly. That would have been Sinatra's guy.
Wow. And in any event, it's great to see you.
It's so wonderful to see you. And every time I promote something, I must say, over 30 years, you have gone, oh, sure, we'll put them on the junket. You know, they'll put me on a radio thing with 30 people, and you guys have listened to me talk real fast about my gig. And I was about to talk about the thing that's airing tonight, but I'm so happy to see you, and you're not kicking me out yet.
No, we'll get to it. So airing tonight.
I don't even want to leave.
First episode.
Two episodes.
I have nowhere to go.
Okay, well, hang out with us.
Yeah,
that's
two episodes tonight.
You are smart. It's 8 o'clock, and it's Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain.
Is it a?
It's a big Mountain show.
Half hour.
It's in a half hour, and there's two of them tonight, and it's Nashville Squares.
How many of you are telling?
I did 10, 12. I can't remember, but it was really just easy and a lot of fun. And the reason that I got the call was, and I said, well, what happened? You know, is Jeff Foxworthy busy or he can't talk? Is he busy? I'm turning into Ron Howard in The Music Man. There's a reference, millennials and Gen X.
Special.
Hey, Wells Fargo wagon is coming down the street.
Right? And the millennials are at home going, all right. Anyway, so
The Music Man is a classic.
It's amazing.
We get into an argument about this all the time. My point when they're
just mention something that's happened this century. No, that's all we want.
My point
that's
is
19 years.
You want? You're in favor.
I'm just saying.
You're in favor of those whirly birds delivering packages. What are they called?
Drones.
Whirly birds.
Whirly birds.
Oh my God!
Where he is, they don't use helicopters.
Have you ever had granola?
Whirly birds.
So my My point is, you don't need to be able to go online, have something delivered within 20 minutes.
Yes, you do.
You don't need your new pair of shoes.
We're eating trees at cardboard. I don't know. I hope Amazon doesn't own you guys.
Yeah. The point is, there's not going to be a great song like the Wells Fargo Wagon, because it's going to be, the whirly bird is, but then it's here already.
The drone's coming down and it's going to circumcise you.
See?
I think we covered it and it was fine and we don't need it.
May I make an amendment to that?
Anyway, go ahead.
This is the fairest trial I've ever been at.
Yeah.
No officer did not touch anyone ever. School of Rock, Jack Black.
Yes.
Is the music man. That's what it is. He is a charlatan teacher that takes these kids.
That's right.
And so that is a little more contemporary. And I think a lot of the listeners that are millennials at 5, 6 years old saw School of Rock. So we are not.
Did you see School of Rock? Do you know what he's talking about?
Absolutely. No, it's the same thing. At the end, they can kind of almost play.
You forget
they're quite good. Yeah.
But they get good at the end.
Yeah, they are good.
You're doing the Music Man. And
that was the Music Man.
I know.
No, he doesn't know the tunes.
The Music
School
Man
of Rock.
Is a great, is a brilliant, brilliant.
I think School of Rock, he was going, but the thing's all about the band.
It's a long way to the top. That one.
Mm-hmm. Jack Black is so great.
He's great.
He's great. You've had him on here, right?
Yeah, of course. And I
he's a chillest
what's
guy.
What's the movie where he plays the coroner that
Bernie? It's a terrific film.
Did you see
film.
That?
No.
Will you write that down? You ask us that every morning.
That's a great movie.
I can't be expected to remember all this stuff.
Has he gone this far over the mountain?
Yes.
Our guest, basking in his own ignorance, has never seen the film, so you have to change the topic.
That's true. Ready? And I do bask in it. And I get a mellow tan.
We'll be right back. We're hanging out with comedian Bob Saget. Try to pay attention.
Thank you, ladies.
Try to pay attention, Bob.
I'm just repeating everyone like Rain Man.
I was so excited because we have a song for
you. What a jerk you are.
We have a
You've
song.
You've had a really rough week, haven't you?
Week! Week!
Oh, we're talking the life?
The last
years?
Time, the last time you were here, I got there that week after you were here, and I've been here ever since.
Oh, now we have I'm really sorry. I got to leave.
That's right. You got out, man. How do I look?
How'd you get out?
We had a brand new song for Bob Saget. A custom song we were going to play for Mr. Saget, but...
What happened to it?
What happened?
You'll notice our song guy isn't here, so.
Oh.
Sorry,
where the
Bob.
Hell is he?
I don't know. It's something I got. Something. I was trick-or-treating with my girls last night, and there was some weird notice about something. So anyway.
He's got malaria, right?
Next time you come, Bob, we'll have that song.
Absolutely. I'm Bob, sorry about the malaria.
Bob also is the new host of Nashville Squares, premiering tonight on CMT. So it's kind of a Hollywood Squares thing, and you mentioned who else is on it.
It is. Gary Busey's there just to go like, and then you look up, and you go, what, Gary? He goes, oh, Bob, he realizes. But it's got a lot of my old friends on it. It's got Bill Ingvall's on it, who I love.
Love Bill.
Lonnie Love and Carolyn Ray and Melissa Peterman and, Fortune Feimster is very funny. But a lot of country acts, a lot of very well-known people that I adore. I mean, I love all music. I even sang a song. In fact, there is a guitar here.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I don't have a pick, and I don't know if it's in
tune. Oh, we have picks. You need a pick?
And there is one there.
There's one right there.
And it's clean, which is, and I'm actually not.
Well, it's been in my mouth.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Can I put it back in after I'm done?
Sure.
He meant the song is clean, not the pick.
The pick's filthy. I can smell it. But
quite different.
But this is a song I sang on Nashville Squares, which means I get royalties because I'm an ASCAP, which is sounds dirty, but it's a publishing company.
Sure.
Sounds
yeah, ASCAP sounds like some kind of unfortunate birth control.
Okay. Right? Right? So this is a song I did that's 40 seconds long. And that's how you get money on television. And it's real simple. Can't remember it. Oh, here it is. Sitting and a thinking about dogs and trucks, goats and chickens and pigs and ducks. Some on a farm, some you want to eat, but I'm a vegan, so corn's my meat. Corn's my meat, corn's my meat. Niblets and giblets.
Not giblets.
That's kernels. Kernels, that's my treat. Corn's my meat, corn's my meat. Corn's my meat. Well, that's
his. Hey. What do you call that?
popcorn to my knee.
What's the title of that?
That's called This Pig Smells.
I didn't play it right. I wasn't planning to play it, but that's my country week. We'll see how the show does, and you know, and then, but I got a bigger show coming up in the new year, which I'll be on the satellite thing, begging you to have me on.
Oh, what's that?
It is Videos After Dark. It is coming on ABC, and it is a dirtier version of the video show that I used to host.
So it'll be on after 10?
It'll be 9 or 10. They might make it 9 because everything's blurred, all the body parts of naked people.
I see.
And I do my humor, but it is not... It's scripted, and I'm hosting it, and it's really fun, actually, to see a giant neon head of yourself. It's real good for the ego, really helps people in show business, because, you know, we're all stable people. Because I lived in a stable for a while.
Did you?
Yeah, during Christmas. I was born, actually, in a manger.
No wonder you think so highly of yourself, yeah.
But that show, I don't. I swear, I'm so self-loathing, it's terrible. But the show will be fun. I believe you'll all like it. It's just...
And it's called again...
Videos After Dark.
Okay. And Bob Saget is our guest. Did I introduce Mr. Saget?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question. This is awful, but I have to ask.
Please.
I remember the first time I saw you, I can remember that you repeatedly said during your program, I have no act.
That is the truth.
I remember that from... This is from 30 years.
And after 5 specialized, I found that I have one. But but I used to say, I have no act, I have no friends, I have no life, and I live in a moped. and then I started at the Comedy Store in L.A. I started when I was 17 in Philadelphia. But then I would go to New York, and that's where you saw me. And you know, play whenever I could at Catch or at the Improv. And I actually would say, my mother is Gumby and my father's Pokey and I'm Mr. Potato Head. And I met Robin Williams and I met everybody. Letterman was one of my first MCs. It was pretty amazing. And Robin came over and he said, and he was always trying to find an angle on, is that something that's clever that could fuel him? Not that he would take the material, but that he would use ideas of it in a way. He was a vacuum for comedy and one of the sweetest people ever born on the earth, and did more for philanthropic things for me personally even. So he said, so your mother's Gummy and your father's Pokey and you're Mr. Potato Head? And I said, yep. And he went, okay. There was nowhere to go with that. There was just nothing. I also said my first joke was I have the brain of a German Shepherd and the body of a 16-year-old boy, and they're both in my car, and I want you to see them. Now, that is not a joke that really can go today. It doesn't fly well.
Right, it's not
appropriate, but that's how I started. And then people were shocked when I played Danny Tanner because he, you know, I don't know, but I was... known to comedians, but not to the world, and that was a gift.
You're kind of a blue comedian.
I guess I was more edgy and weird, and then I got more blue.
Edgy and weird is fairer and better. I agree. Once again, Bob Saget is our guest. I'll give you some of the dates of your spring tour, which is coming out, and also I'll mention again Nashville Square is premiering tonight. How much of that is when you film a show like that? Do you film for an hour to get 30 minutes?
We kind of do it in live time. And we have the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader All-Stars. So I'm married, but, you know, at the commercial breaks, they would just hide them on the bus, keep them away from the crew. but that's not my deal anyway. I'm happily married for a year now, and that in L.A., that's a hummingbird's life. I only turn blue, and I know we've talked about this kind of, and I know how you fall on comedy, and I agree with you. And some of my favorite comedians are Jim Gaffigan and, you know,
sure,
people. And I idolized Cosby back in the day. When I slept with him, it was kind of...
It's changed.
But, you know, because he wore the first cardigan sweater. Then I did it on my show, and I'm still doing Fuller House. But I agree. I just like to be able to do different kinds of comedy for different kinds of audiences. And but I've kind of come. I'm 63, so I'm kind of like more conscious of. I mean, I got 17-year-olds in the audience with fake IDs, and I want to set a decent example. But you can still do that if you're using. I mean, if you watch my favorites, Bill Burr or Chappelle, or whoever, some of the people that are doing it, and Sebastian doesn't use a bad word in his work, you know. But no matter how you do it, if your intentions are good,
sure,
there's no malice.
You know, I've always been one of these, I like all kinds of comedy. There are a lot of comedians that look down on a guy who grabs a guitar. They look down on a prop.
Well, they were
act.
Right to look down on me.
Well, I didn't say plays. I said grabs.
Right.
I love all of them.
Underhanded?
I mean, I love prop acts.
Right.
And there's this sort of snobbery about, oh, he's not a monologist. Monologist sounds like you've masturbated too much. Let's face it. No, it's if whatever.
Is there a too much?
what is too much?
I have a story you're all going to like, because it's Larry David's story. Before Larry David was on Fridays, so this is a show that was on, right. Saturday Night Live was always a hit, so Fridays they tried it on ABC.
Knockoff.
Yeah.
Michael Richards was on, a lot of people were on it. And so Larry David was on the show. He was on the show that I was on at the Improv, and I'm holding a guitar, and I'm going to sing while my guitar gently weeps, and water's going to pour out of my guitar. and so Larry David is standing there, and on stage is the amazing Jonathan, and he is doing all kinds of prop bits, and Larry is going, they don't want my comedy, they just want this, they want prop bits, they don't want funny. And he gets on stage, and he goes, looks at me in my eyes, doesn't realize I'm holding a guitar, and goes, all they want is a guitar act. That's all they want. And we were friends. And I'm like, I'm holding a guitar. And then he goes on stage and he spends 40 seconds. He tells one joke. They don't laugh. He uses every expletive imaginable at the audience, tells them they don't know anything, how ignorant they are. And then Bud Friedman gets up on stage, the owner of the Improv, and says, and now Bob Saget, and I kill. With guitar parodies. I mean, they're below test dummies on the scale of show business.
Yeah, but funny.
Yeah, well, it can be. But my music that I've done, that I still do, will always do. Well, I don't think we'll always do. I got another 10 years. I'm just loving stand-up right now because the world is so messed up that I like to bring the people together. I like to bring everybody together in the room. And that's what you guys do here. You don't hit political stuff.
Yeah, we don't. We try to bring each other together, and it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the desks are further apart than they were before.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very absurd.
There's a bigger...
That's the DMZ.
Yeah, that's the chasm. Yeah.
I think you could fit the DMV in there. But I actually... I just all my comedy music is not a parody. It is all original comedy songs, which is what Martin Mull used to do, who I used to idolize. And I'm directing a documentary about Martin Mull because he's a great artist.
Yeah, his paintings are unbelievable.
And I just bought one. I got really lucky. Kevin Bright from Friends, producer of that, is producing it. And we're making it. We've been working on it for a while.
Yeah, Martin Mull, there was early 70s? There was a tour called Steve Martin Mull.
Right,
those two guys. Can you imagine seeing that?
Yeah, that would be cool.
They were playing relatively small clubs. Martin Mull was doing a slide guitar thing with the dildo.
Did you happen to interview Steve Martin for that?
I did. Yeah, I did, and Eric Idle and Norman Lear and a lot of people. And Steve Martin was talking about that. And they were not friends at first. They were so shy. They're both so shy that they said they would do like weird things. It's very nice to make your acquaintance. They would do that like every time they saw each other in the hallway. They didn't want to speak to each other. It's like Letterman, very shy. You know, doesn't. Sometimes it's curmudgeon, but sometimes it's not. It's just want to be left alone and or insecurities or whatever. But Steve Martin is and Martin Mull. I saw him on tour when I was 17. Are you okay? Did you fall asleep?
No, I'm good.
Okay. do you need anything? I have the adrenaline shot that Uma Thurman got. Pulp Fiction. I can plunge.
She nominated for that? I think she might have been nominated.
Her center of her chest. Her solar plexus.
Best sternum of the year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Best sternum of the year. But it was really interesting because he was amazing at comedy songs, like ones that were kind of dirty, but not at all. He had a humming song. Every curse word was a hum. And the song by the end is like, it's just all humming. But he was Martin Mull and his furniture. And what he did was he would take his furniture from his house, put it on a U-Haul.
Oh, yeah.
You know all this. And would show up in a small place, of like a Troubadour or in Philly, there was the Main Point. It was like a 450 seating room. Springsteen played there and Jackson Browne. And he was a music act, really. He played with Glenn Campbell. He was very good musically. and he had his furniture, but he had to cart it. He towed it. He towed it, and then he realized it's probably easier to just go to Salvation Army in every city.
And but now it's not uncommon to go to a concert and see someone up there, and they've got the carpet down, and they've got furniture up there. But Martin Mull did it, and whatever. 73. We're talking with comedian Bob Saget. Bob,
are you? He's so great.
I will remind you that our own Donnie Baker and Bob Zaney.
Oh,
are
funny
be
man, Bob Zaney, Bob Zaney,
Modesto and Fresno this weekend. We'll get you're mounting a tour in the spring, I understand.
Yeah, I'm mounting. I just got off of a theater tour, and I'm doing theaters and clubs. The clubs are the ones that are my favorites. And I love the Helium Club, and I know the one here in...
The one here is tonight Brandon. And tomorrow, and then you're in, what is it, New York? And
I'm in...
Stand Up Live in Phoenix, November 8th and 9th, and then New York's Caroline's Tuesday, December 10th.
Well, that will be a benefit. That's for scleroderma that I lost my sister to. So I do benefits at Caroline's once a year, and we have a great lineup. We have John Oliver and Jim Gaffigan and Michael Che. And so, and we raise almost $1 million. Each time we raised over $50 million. And,
wow.
And, it's helping cure the disease that my sister and a lot of people are stricken with. I didn't mean to bring the place down.
No, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful amazing.
It's better than the malaria joke earlier.
Thank you, Bob. I tried to tell him.
I know. They don't listen.
They don't listen.
Among
can't believe you never got
among among contemporary comedians, who is your actual real closest friend?
Wow.
That seems private.
I would say...
I'm not going to pry.
He won't admit it because he sends me nothing but things like we're not friends. But I would say Bill Burr probably.
Mm-hmm.
I just adore him, and I love Chappelle. I'm close with... I'm trying to think what other comedians. I'm close with pretty much a lot of people. I tour with Mike Young, who's a very, very good comedian. And so he wrote on Entourage. That's how I met him, from doing all those Entourages. Burr is a guy that I'll write to him and say, boy, I loved your special, buddy, at Royal Albert Hall. And he'll just say, I can't repeat what he sends back.
Sure.
Yeah. But it always has to do with me being something that my gender is.
Doing something to yourself?
Well, no, it's just my gender is suspect.
Oh.
But when you were a kid, I have
here
to
we
ask.
Go.
I had no friends.
Was there a...
I had no friends.
Is there like a rhyming insult to the name Bob Saget? Did you get
Yes. Sadly. I talk about it in my work.
No, you don't have to mention it.
I talk about it in my work.
You know me better. I wouldn't mention it. I don't even want to. I got a tight 7 on it, but that was horrible.
Gorgeous piece of business.
It was horrible.
It was horrible.
And there's a lot of people that just have, I bet there's people that have that name without, you know, the S. That have it and live with it. And I mean, there are people that have weird names.
When you when you name children, which I've done
many times.
I name strangers children.
You got to be careful. You've got to think, okay, how can this be shortened, lengthened? What does it rhyme with?
Yeah.
You know, you think it's a love. Well, this is a great name. She'll be a great Supreme Court justice. And then all of a sudden it's something unfortunate. So
yeah,
I guess that can be good for you. Maybe that's where your
strength that's why we
from.
Named my oldest Squeaky Fromm.
Oh, good, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Tarantino had to drub that up again, didn't he?
Yes,
yeah.
And then
Tarantino's ruined it for all of us.
He sure has.
We were actually talking about names that have gone into disfavor due to certain events in history.
Sure. Yes. Katrina, that was out for a while, and probably still is. And
Adolf, certainly.
Well, yeah.
Certainly.
There have not been many Adolfs, but there is a steak tenderizer, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it still exists.
Adolf's meat tenderizer.
Does it still exist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really?
That's wrong on every single
with their logo with that little mustache. It's just inappropriate. They don't do that.
Yeah, they can claim it's Chaplin all they want.
The only problem is when you're seasoning your steak, you got to click your heels. That's the only problem.
That is a problem.
And then you got to raise your hand up really fast and turn the fan on. Oh, my.
Okay, Mr. Bob Saget is our guest. You know Bob from comedy, from the world of stand-up, the world of television, lots of different specials. I was saying earlier, it's so confusing now, and a chick will walk in and I'll go, I'm watching this new show. I just binge-watched, you know, whatever it's called. you know, Lord Almighty, Beef Stew, and it's
that is a good show.
It's on some
show.
It's on some network I've never heard of, and things get very, very obscure.
Yeah,
but you're going to be on a relatively well known network, CMT.
Yes. Yes, that'll be tonight and every Friday. And then in the new year, it will winter spring is what they're calling it. ABC. ABC is still number one in the phone book.
Which it sure is.
Yeah. It's
Acme as right after. Uh-huh. And then I've got a bunch of other things. Fuller House is ending. So this is the fifth season on Netflix. So it ends the end of this year, which the first nine. And then I'm doing the last episode in 2 weeks. So it's going to be very emotional.
It'll be bittersweet, huh? Yeah.
It is bittersweet. And the girls are 40. And so that makes me 112. I'm an elm tree.
Now, let me ask you, I want to, this is a semi-serious question. If
never with a man intoxicated.
If one turns on the television, if you're on, you turn on the TV at your house, you're by yourself, anything you've ever been in shows up, which one do you actually watch? Where do you sit down and go, you know, I want to see this?
I might hit an Entourage, which is, it's hard to find. It's usually like HBO late at night. They'll run some. But no, if it's Full House or Fuller House, my kids used to, I have three daughters that are now old. They're 195.
And oh.
Very, very old.
Still lovely.
Ancient. Lovely. Yeah, their blood's very thin. But they're 32, 30. Very cold. They're
often
incredibly
cold. Yeah.
Cold.
I have to wear a jacket all the time.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. And my daughter, Alfalfa, we had to change her name.
Oh.
Because life changes from the Little Rascals.
Sure, sure.
But... but it's just they will watch. They will. My youngest would sneak watch Full House, and I would walk into the room, and I'd see myself in a dinosaur outfit like Dino, and it was pink like Barney or whatever. And I was just, you're forbidden to watch this show. Just put on Sex in America on HBO. You know, I can't let you watch this.
I know when Half Baked comes on, I go, I can't stop watching until I see SAG.
Well, that's because I directed Dirty Work, so I did a cameo in Half Baked. And Dirty Work, we're talking about a sequel, Norman.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we went to MGM and sent them some, believe it or not, this is how showbiz works. The producer, David Permit, who's a dear friend of mine, and he did Hacksaw Ridge, but he did a lot of movies back in the day, like Men in Black and the original, not Men in Black, sorry, Face Off. Right. I got them confused because it had two people on the poster.
Sorry,
go ahead, talk about that.
Two-headed Hydra. Yeah.
I can't believe you're still here.
Why didn't you tunnel out?
I can't leave. I don't know what it.
He had his own podcast.
He tried to get.
He's so funny.
Pulling me back.
You know why? Because he's so damn nice. That's why.
I'm nice.
That's
Did you hear
truth.
That?
Well, he's weak and cowardly, but other than that,
so was the lion, but he was my least favorite. But
can I interrupt you for one second?
Please, you must.
I'd like to stop.
Do you want to tell? Do you want to tell Mr. Saget your
Mr. Saget
your revelation about the Wizard of Oz?
I love when you call me that. I feel like the IRS is auditing.
Well, he's going to think I'm silly and stupid if I tell him.
That's why
no,
I
knew
him.
That. Coming
well,
in.
Like 10 years ago, maybe 8, maybe 5, maybe last year, I just realized that the lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow were the farmhands.
He didn't realize this.
I said, hey, wait a minute. That's Bert Lahr.
Are you kidding?
No.
I didn't either. Well,
so how can you?
Ace was right there with me.
So how can you make fun of his old music man Robert Preston references?
I find it incredibly easy.
But I mean, how can you not?
Well,
know
there's
that?
Wait a minute, is Robert Preston? Is there a wizard in Music Man?
Well, no, but. See, he didn't. Bobby,
I'm
he doesn't
making
understand
a reference
anything.
To an old reference. That
here's
he,
what we should do.
Oh, yeah. I see why you're still
let's
here.
Put, let's, yeah. let's put Mr. Let's
I
put,
don't know how to read. Oh,
hey, I can help
Saget
you.
Saget says what? Let's put.
I'll teach you phonetically.
Shimony.
Saget says what?
We're having a good
hey,
time.
Hey, double down.
What are you doing? They all heard you the first time.
I'm thinking they didn't hear me. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah. There's the look of shock on their face. It wasn't because of what I said. It's that I didn't say it loud enough.
Mr. Saget.
And how does that make you feel?
Here's what I want to test Mr. Saget by doing Today in History and let's see what happens.
Oh, okay. Good.
This is a regular feature on the show.
I used to do that on the show.
It's very happy.
Leonard.
I'm now for...
It happens to the best of us. Leonard, your mic.
Any day now.
Look at this.
We only use the finest equipment here. Time
Chick's fell off.
You'll take that with you when they fire you.
I will.
By the way, Chick.
Try it from my cold
Chick, just so you know. By the way, Clark Kent is Superman. Okay, back to you.
Today in history.
November 1st, 1512.
Yes. Holy hell.
We're going back.
This better start with
traffic
Magna.
Was terrible.
1512. Okay,
1512. The Sistine Chapel opened for public viewing. The ceiling, of course.
And the pickpockets went nuts that day.
Oh, sure. Everybody's looking up. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
The shortest lines in history, though.
Yes. Yeah.
But they had the rest of the walls also. It wasn't just the ceiling.
Right.
Boy, I bet the mirrored shoe guys loved the Sistine Chapel.
That was in the 50s at the social.
Well, they ruined it. That famous commercial from the mid-70s, that Sears One coat.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Guys, well, look at this. Someone graffitied this thing. Now with Sears One coat.
And if you own,
I don't remember that Sears One coat.
Oh, they had the Sears One coat. The guy was always painting the ceiling. And yeah, just takes
covering it up.
With every reference, a millennial gets its wings.
Yes.
If you run an upskirt website, aren't you at the Sistine Chapel all the time?
Why is that?
No,
they're
why?
All because you're looking up.
Yeah, hey, so nobody's looking down. Shots, oh, I see what you're saying.
It is a good way to get a wallet.
But
yes,
that's the thing. Well, never. I'm not going to get serious.
What other places do you go?
It's a holy place. You don't do stuff like that.
Well,
there.
You go where the the people.
That's
are
what Willie
up.
Sutton said.
Yeah.
Right. Why do you look at ceilings?
Why do you rob banks? That's where the money is.
Oh, sorry. Back to you.
November 1st, 1604. Oh. Shakespeare's Othello first was presented.
Billy Shakes.
The Jackie Robinson of Shakespeare.
Pretty much. Yeah.
The Moor of Venice. Yes. Yeah,
very, very funny play.
Oh, hilarious.
Apparently, Shakespeare liked November 1st because then 7 years later in 1611.
This was a lucky opening night.
He presented Tempest.
The sequel to Temper.
Yes. First there was Temp, and then Temper, and then Tempest.
And then it was in a teapot.
The great filmmaker John Cassavetes did a remake and of that theme, The Tempest. And it was about human empowerment.
Which one was that? What was that called?
It was called The Tempest.
So it was Seymour Casals and
I think it had that him, and I think it had Peter Falk in it. The troupe of the John Cassavetes. Now, people out there, millennials. No. Sorry, millennials and Gen X. No. I'm sorry. Go look up John Cassavetes. No, go watch his movies.
And you know him from Rosemary's Baby, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Or Columbo, bad guy. But I would say
let me ask you a question. Okay. Excuse me. Something's bothering me about what happened. Why is the gun laying on the table?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Yeah, bring me the head of
Alfredo Garcia.
Yeah, that thing is incredible.
That's upsetting.
It is upsetting. Yes. Yeah,
so not as good as bring me the finger of Jerry Garcia. Obscure.
Yeah, you know what, Bob? You're right. Eight heads in a double
where it's
bag.
Been.
Wait a minute.
Eight heads in a double bag is more upsetting.
I can't believe I'm saying this. That was pretty darn funny.
That's almost
good,
a joke.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll skip from the 1600s to the 1900s in history.
Yeah, because I thought this was going to be a 19-hour thing. Because you were going 3 years at a time.
No,
Bob, your little show goes maybe an hour. We got to be here 4 hours a day, 5 days.
Oh my God.
We'll come right back if our guest chooses to stay.
I'm not leaving.
Bob Saget's hanging
leave.
With us, so this is the Bob and Tom Show.
1612, that was the most popular color.
We're going to learn that.
Now, we were going to get back to today in history, but
they
first.
They mashed cranberries together.
Bob, you mentioned that you started doing comedy when you were a teenager.
Yeah, when I was 17.
Did you ever have what would be considered a normal job? Did you ever have
I was a deli clerk for 6 years while I was doing comedy. I am in the Directors Guild, the Screen Actors Guild, the Writers Guild, ASCAP, which is a publishing company, and I'm in the Amalgamated Meat Cutters Union still to this day on a leave of absence. And I pay my dues because you need a trade if the second show at Helium doesn't go well.
There you go.
I'll be slicing.
So if he gets a call between first and second show, all right, come on in. He's got to go.
I will slice that ham like nobody's business.
See, I'm really jealous because I worked at Arby's and they wouldn't let me on the slicer because I was too young. They wouldn't let you do that.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
I used to have a nightmare. Remember M.C. Escher paintings?
Sure.
Yes.
So that he would have like layered faces. Mm-hmm. I dreamed that I did that to my face on a slicer.
Ooh.
And that's not a good dream. So I stayed away from slicers for a couple days.
What kind of a monster are you? Jeez.
They were done to me, though.
Now, I want to mention a couple things. On your television tonight, it'll be Bob Saget hosting... a new show called Nashville Squares. And also coming up on ABC, you're going to do...
it's Videos kind of a, After Dark will be on in the winter spring.
But don't you have something coming up in December, like December, a greatest hits?
December 8th is a show on ABC with Alfonso and Tom Bergeron and myself talking about 30 years of America's Funniest Home Videos. Now, it was called America's Funniest Home Videos when I did it. Mm-hmm. And when I left, they called it America's Funniest Videos. They took out the home. Because apparently people lost their homes or something. I don't know what happened.
Well, it was after 2008, yeah.
It was in 1614.
The bubble burst, I think, is pretty...
In 1702. But, but I'm part of like American culture. It was weird because a little girl came up to me the other day. I got to finish that sentence.
Yeah.
And
are these your pants?
You know, it's a different time. It's a different world.
You could have finished and it that
said,
way,
And said, I'm sorry, this is the ladies' room. No, that's not it. That's not it. She came up to me. I was doing Access Hollywood to promote this, the Nashville Squares tonight. And she was crying because she and shaking, which I only experienced a couple times in my life with a few performers that I've met. I actually had it with Pete Townsend a couple weeks ago because I really loved The Who. And I saw them perform, and they were amazing. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my whole life.
Wow.
And with an orchestra, full orchestra. Mm. But back to this young girl, she's thinking I'm The Who. She's thinking I'm her Elvis, her... whatever, and she's crying.
Oh.
And now we think people are thinking I've hurt her. So that's not good.
So she loved you from the video show,
from the Full House,
from Full House.
And Fuller. She told me this. There's a new app called TikTok. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
So I'm on it. So my wife put me on it, and I got almost 500,000 followers now because you know I got a name. You know, I'm like, you know. I don't know. I'm a brand. I'm Costco.
Sure.
Are they a sponsor? Can I mention?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Hershey. Anyway, so what happened was this girl takes a picture with me and then goes, "I love you on Full and Fuller House, and I love your TikTok." And I'm thinking that sounds wrong on every level. And what's really wrong is she shouldn't be looking at it because a lot of stuff on there is teenage girls, 16-year-old girls doing lascivious type of singing that. I think is one of the things I'm very viral, so you won't catch it.
But, okay, good. Yeah, I was going to ask if it was airborne.
But I move quickly. I kind of go wherever the things are going, but I get scared that we're in this whole Kardashianism of America, and I don't want to be part of that. But it's I'm on forums. If you're on Twitter and Instagram, you are part of that. You are. Mm-hmm. You can easily click bait onto anything that you go. Oh my God,
Chick, how do you describe Twitter again?
The worst bar you've ever walked into.
Yeah.
Well, hey, baby, I'll kick your ass. Yeah.
And it goes on forever.
And it goes on forever and ever and ever.
Now, could we finish today in history? Do we have time?
Yeah.
Where were we? 1502 or something?
No.
Time now for part two of today.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thanks, Leonard.
Sorry.
Now we're going to jump from 1611 all the way up to 1959.
Well,
that's when Cleveland Browns running back Jim Brown ran for
five
touchdowns in the 38-31 win over the Baltimore Colts at the time.
And that was almost the last time the Browns were good.
Man. Tom loves the Browns and he loves Jim Brown. So
I've
talked to Jim Brown.
Whoa.
He gained 1,000 yards when there were only 12 games in the season.
That's insane.
Yeah.
He's
when it meant something.
Has anybody else done the five touchdowns?
Yeah, I think Gil Sears has six in a game.
Okay.
But that's when the games were 3 hours long.
Sure. A quarter was 25 minutes.
Back to you.
There were much smaller people.
November 1st, 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America introduced the rating system.
Oh, good. And there went my life.
Yeah, and it's always made sense. The guidelines are very clear.
Oh,
and,
yes.
It's really weird how they've changed, because I've directed some movies, and they used to be you were allowed two expletives of that variety, mm-hmm. and then they made it one, and at one time it was 10 you could have a PG movie. And now you're allowed a PG-13 movie with that word that, you know, the word right. you're not supposed to say a couple times, which I find odd. And then I made a movie that is on Hulu right now. It's a Hulu pick, which means someone got it out of their nose and put it on the web.
what's it called?
It's called Benjamin, and it's about a young boy that we think has some problems, but... the people that try to help him have more problems than him. And it's Rob Corddry and Kevin Pollak and myself and Mary Lynn Rice Cub and a lot of really good.
One of our favorites.
Dave Foley and Sherry O'Terry and yeah. Max Burkholder plays the kid. So, but that thing got an R rating and there's no cursing in it. There is not one curse word.
Amazing.
So it was because of drug content. We think that he has got a problem. So it's kind of a Just Say No movie. Mm. And I'm more Danny Tanner in that. I'm kind of Danny Tanner off the rails a little bit. So that's like, you know.
Jack Nicholson famously said, if you cut a boob off,
yep,
you get an R. If you kiss it, you get an X.
Yeah.
And I heard it with the word.
I cleaned it up. Okay. Slightly.
Yeah, you can't say that word. I didn't know you could say that because it's not anything. I mean, I cows have them.
Yeah.
Right.
But they have the E.
Yeah, they have the molded word.
Yeah, you can shoot. Yeah. One off, but you can't show it.
Yeah. Are we talking about cans? Is that what
that's
we're talking
yeah,
about?
That's what we're talking about.
Jugs?
Mm-hmm.
Jugs?
Yeah,
we finish today in history? Are we done?
No, we're not done.
Oh, my God.
No.
November 1st, 1988, the Staten Island Ferry.
By the way, I know that with respect to the rating system, Chrissy, you were telling me that you're of the Catholic faith. And
yes, sir.
The Catholic thing, you had like crying Jesuses, like 5 crying Jesuses and 4.
What?
I saw them in Atlantic City. They were great.
They were. They're the new Blue Man Group.
5 crying Jesuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they rate movies Condemned?
Oh, we do have a rating system.
But you know,
yes.
the critics crucified them.
Sorry, I brought it up.
Wow. There was a confession booth outside the theater.
1988, the Staten Island Ferry got payphones.
Huh.
Boy, that's technology.
And all anybody's saying is, get me off this ferry.
Yeah.
Can you come get me? Send the cop. Send the whirly bird.
The booth ferry.
You should go back in time
phone
now.
Phone booth.
Just to keep us going.
I should. Back in 1995
ferry,
on the state.
Ferry phones like sounds like a.
What'd you call me?
See, it sounds like a slur.
Yeah.
That was a big deal, though, then. Can you imagine? Hey, I'm on the Staten Island. Remember the first time you got on an airplane, they had those air phones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guess where I am now.
Uh-huh. Well, what about the headsets were basically swirly straws? They were like they were stethoscopes. They were air-controlled. You plug them in, they were air.
Where are those now?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a warehouse
recycled
in New Jersey, probably.
Yes. Landfill.
Yeah, there's a warehouse somewhere.
Staten Island.
Or some lesser country.
Absolutely. Yeah, Malaysia, they're brand new.
And our last on this date in history, November 1st, 1995.
But you skipped a century.
Hey, look, not every year
is that special.
You know
what? I don't edit this. I just read it.
But you're pretty good.
Blame me.
Chicago Bulls retired Michael Jordan's number 23 jersey in a 2-hour ceremony in Chicago.
And did you know that ceremony, Michael Jordan bet $500,000 a ceremony would go longer than
2 hours?
He'll bet on anything.
He'd like to gamble.
This is the Bob and Tom Show coming to you live from the Napa Auto Parts Studios, coast to coast on a bunch of great radio stations. And we are on American Forces Radio worldwide. Glad to be here. Glad to be there. And I'd like to introduce our guest, Bob Zaney. But Bob isn't here. It's actually Bob Saget.
Right. Who it can be zany.
Yes.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute. You don't know the difference, do you?
Yes, I do.
He's not wearing a suit. Zany always wears a suit.
Bob Zaney will be with Donnie Baker in Modesto tonight. And then tomorrow it's in Fresno. And I inadvertently called Mr. Saget Mr. Zaney. In my haste earlier. Now, we are going to switch gears. We'll get back to today in history. What was the last thing we were talking about?
Oh, we're done with it. No, we're going to birthdays.
We were talking about the rating system in movies.
Yes, we were.
Did you know that to get that G rating for The Last Temptation of Christ, they had to use liquid nails?
Oh.
If you're aware of that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is an interesting fact.
I didn't know that. You know, it used to be M. It used to be mature.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond movies were rated M. Which I like because that was the lead character of the movies. M was often.
Oh, yeah.
The lead Bond. Did you say James Bond?
I'm just trying to get... Shaken, not stirred.
That's the James Bond chord. Isn't that great?
That's...
I just keep it around. I'm trying.
It is loud, yeah.
I should tell Mr. Sagan.
It sounds like the Surfers, but it's John Barry, I believe.
That's correct. Who also did the music for Body Heat. Ooh, good stuff.
Yeah, that was good. Below Frame.
Now, we have a guest on the telephone. The lovely comedian Allie Breen is joining us. Allie, can you hear me okay?
Yes. How are you guys?
Good, Allie. How are you?
Hi, Allie
Good,
Breen.
Thanks.
Bob Sagan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Better now.
Now, Allie, we did not warn Mr. Saget that he just couldn't come in here and spout witticisms. He has to actually participate.
And, yes.
And this is kind of like a Dear Abby thing, Bob. I know that you like to help people. You're a very generous soul.
I do.
We're going to help some young lovers. What have we got today, Allie?
Dear Allie, me and my boyfriend moved in together, and the first time he farted in front of me, it was hilarious.
All right, yeah.
However, now he does it all the time, including trying to fart on my head or Dutch oven me in bed.
Oh, isn't that nice? Oh.
Once was funny, but now the fart gates have opened. It's like I'm living with my little brother.
Yeah.
What should I do?
I would go to a non-gassy person. I would. I hate to say, but you have to ask him to stop.
Exactly. You sure do. You
yes.
have to ask
him.
And if he doesn't, you can pour paraffin in that thing in the middle of the night.
I think problem is solved. Yep. It's relatively nonviolent,
right?
Yeah,
and would certainly be effective,
right?
And then when it's removed, he would have a nice clean
paperweight.
I meant his dirt
button.
His dirt button.
Oh yeah, that would be
hairless. Yeah. And that hairless dirt button was my
hairless
one of my
dirt.
Favorite
First
bands.
Band. Oh,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think if he loves and respects you, he'll say, yeah. I'm not going to do this anymore.
I think if he's doing that, he's not loving and respecting her.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
He's just a goofball. It's kind of a weird power move, and it's relatively tasteless.
It's immature, and she needs to find more of a person suitable, I think.
Unless he's got a lot of money, and he's probably...
Or when he sleeps, just start queefing in his face.
Oh.
Now, you can say that, but we can't say the...
But he might like that.
Hey, Allie.
Yes.
Did we tell you about Josh's experience at the spa?
No.
Okay, real quick.
Yes.
Josh went to a depilatory spa.
A waxing spa.
Yeah, I got waxed. Got waxed.
Yes. So South.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a happy ending spa.
It's not visible.
No, it's not. You can't see it.
South of the equator, he is now...
in Paraguay?
I got the Brazilian.
Did he lose a bet or was this for?
No, he did it on purpose and then he told us about it. He got a Brazilian and then on the backside, what do they call that?
A baboon. So they cleared out everything.
The baboon. So he is hairless down there.
Is it still hairless or is it growing back?
It's growing back, but not, I mean, it's growing back.
Kind of a Don Johnson.
like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Sorry.
Well, I wish I'd said
now,
that.
Peach fuzz.
Do you, Allie, I want your honest answer. I'm sure that, not to suggest that you've encountered a lot of these in your day, but I mean, you've been around the block a time or two. Do you find that
the streets of New York?
Do you find that shocking when you run into?
I thought you were going to say shocking when I get waxed.
No, I'm not. I would never be that personal. Yeah.
Meet someone that might need a machete.
If you meet a guy, would you say, hey, look, you might want to?
Or he's down to hardwoods. Is that a shock?
I think both is a shot. I like someone who manscapes a little bit, but there I think you if you're go. Down to the hardwoods, as Chick puts it, that is a little shocking.
There
That's extreme.
Go.
Yeah, it was extreme, but I would do it again. And
you,
will.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. And he's not sorry about it.
No, I think it's going to be, I think it's part of my lifestyle now.
Double
oh,
right.
It is. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say.
Did something. Your girlfriend request it or did you just go
no,
for it?
No, but the reviews are in and they're positive.
Yeah, sadly, it's thumbs, just one thumbs up.
Wait, did you go from
one untangled
full
thumb
on...
up?
Oh. Sorry. Did you go
but
from
the critics
full on
crucified
jungle?
Him.
Yeah. Wait, what's that, Allie? A chick was trying to shove something down her throat. So that didn't work the first time.
Oh, Josh is now pissed. I love this.
Did you go from full on jungle to nothing, or were you in the in between?
No, I was manscaped.
He was Jumanji.
Okay.
I will say, nice
there is something very sad in the world right now, which is the Brazilian forest is on fire.
Of course, yes.
But if all of us went there and it is on fire, you would get a very, very quick man or female mm-hmm. escaping.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because the fire would just be the burning, you know, be the burning, the sacred.
Yes, of course.
And it would be, you know.
Fire pie.
The burning bush.
Yeah. Even if you're not a ginger.
I didn't want to say it, but it happens. Okay. And yes, it would be a great Jerry Lee Lewis song. I'm afraid to
so
talk.
So you're saying essentially,
you can say great balls of
let's
fire.
Make lemonade out of lemons. So let's use that fire for something good.
So now have we concluded that this the man who has excessive flatulence?
He's a jerk. He's immature. Get rid of him.
Ask him to stop.
I have a more stealthy solution.
What?
Although I think Bob's is correct. What if you started putting that stuff Beano in all his food?
Oh,
so he's suddenly
he lost the ability.
He'd be unable to do this, and he'd probably be trying so hard. He'd probably
that's going to be bad for her.
End up with a prolapse.
Oh, that jeez, Tom.
She probably put a whole box in.
You took that a little far.
This is turned it into.
We're
a
trying
crime.
To help this boy.
You're going to help her, but now his burps are going to stink.
Is that how that works?
Oh,
okay. Next, we've saw, that's one for our team. Next.
Dear Allie, I really love dirty talk. When I try to get my girlfriend to talk dirty, she talks about growing old together and other stuff. She loves me.
Whoa.
Wait
Boo.
A minute. How is growing
talk
old
dirty
together
to me. You
dirty.
And I will once wear adult diapers. Yeah. Well, not that dirty.
I think it's that or curly fried toenails.
Yeah.
God.
It's like she turns it from a porno into a Christian themed event. No matter how dirty I try to get, she turns it around to stuff about love. What should I do?
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
She's fighting it.
She's not into it.
Yeah, well, those are two different people. Those are one.
But it would be super cool if she did that for a couple minutes and then switched gears.
Well, that happens too. A lot of people that are very patriarchal. What? That's matriarchal. that are very much, you know, religious or want to conform and want to be very respectable and want to be Hallmarky. Want to be love letters and stuff.
Yeah, when they turn,
you get them at a certain amount, you know, man or woman.
Get
or,
enough alcohol in them and they'll do just about anything.
I found that with a sheep once. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very, never, very pious sheep.
Never came down from the mountain. It was longer than going through all those dates in history.
I'm sorry. Okay. Allie, another problem solved. Next, what do you got?
You should tell her if they won't grow old together unless you put something in her butt or does something.
Yeah, you could do that.
That's right.
Turn it around that way.
Oh my gosh.
You could do that. Yeah.
Was that too much?
Yes. No, that was perfect.
But that's the second question after that happens. is that too much?
What's next, Allie?
All right, dear Allie, I met a girl on Tinder. We slept together on the fourth date, and as a joke, when she left, I said, I left the money on the dresser.
Oh, always
a
classic.
She did not laugh.
Of course she didn't.
They're both at fault for swiping to get to this.
She didn't laugh. Is that what she said?
Yeah. She did not laugh, and now she won't return my calls.
Well, of course
I tried apologizing
not.
And said I made a bad joke, but she won't talk to me at all. Is it really so bad what I did?
Stupid whore.
Well, the question is, did she take the cash?
That's right. Yeah, she took the money, though, didn't she?
No, she doesn't have a sense of humor. It's over. Don't bother.
Right, but remember, you were a Tinder date.
Tinder is very difficult.
Yeah, she was just looking for, she got what she wanted, and if she,
well, they went out. They went out four times. They didn't have sex till the fourth day.
Well, so first off, you did Tinder wrong.
That's right.
I've met people in relationships on Tinder.
Well,
I mean,
of course.
Long relationships, but it's rare. It's true.
Right.
But he shouldn't have said that. That's disrespectful.
You think it's funny?
Well, if he...
It's funny if it's you're 3 years into a relationship and you know each other pretty well. And
by the way, I have an interesting idea about this. What if there was money on the dresser, she rolled it up, he turned out to be the guy with the flatulence problem, she shoves it up his butt.
There we go.
Well, and then his money stinks.
Well, now we've solved it.
All he's got is a $2 right. bill. Yeah.
If this is some sort of litmus test, he needs to find somebody who will laugh at that joke.
Exactly.
And she can return to tender.
Oh, no. Bob, I'd like your Bob Saget, professional comedian.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us your opinion on?
Hey, they're not all 3-pointers.
I think it's excellent. It's his show.
I think it's excellent.
I think he's been on the air.
I have a question.
Deserves that joke,
Allie.
Yes,
he has earned it.
Back to the now. Was it the guy wanted his girlfriend to talk dirty?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, because I think now what are the limits on that? Like, could she bring up his mom?
Well, wait a minute.
That would not be dirty talk.
That's not dirty.
That's what I think about to stop a masseuse.
Yeah, that's either really clean talk or the filthiest talk.
Yeah.
You don't know how to do this, do you?
Tom doesn't know how to talk dirty. Of course
no,
not.
No, of course not.
God, an educated
no.
man.
You don't talk as dirty as my mama used to.
When she See what happens?
When she breastfed me. When I was 40.
We are solving problems.
Oh,
okay, Allie, we have time for one more, Allie.
Hard pass. Okay.
Dear Allie, I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years, and 2 months ago discovered that he was texting his ex. He didn't see her or hook up, but he was saying things like he's been dreaming about her lately and Uh-oh. Missed her, and she's been the only one who ever understood him.
Uh-oh.
This hurts over. As much as cheating. What should I do?
It's over.
I think it might be over.
Yeah.
It's mental cheating.
Yeah.
You can have a love affair in your mind. I'm having one with everyone here right now. There's no one here I don't want to mount.
I'm talking dirty about your late mother.
I was going to say even
she would like.
For the
she loves the attention.
Yeah,
I like him so much.
Yeah, this is sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
It sounds like he's
out, checked out.
Yeah. Well, also there's something to be said in don't read other people's texts, but there's also something to be said in it lights up and you look at it,
right?
And that's the nightmare that a lot of people are living.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Allie, it's always a great pleasure. If one wants to get a hold of Allie Breen, you're on all the various social platforms. It's Allie Breen, and it's Allibreen.
Perfect.
What are you doing this weekend? Are you on stage?
Yeah, I'm in Poughkeepsie at Laugh It Up with Artie Lang this weekend.
Oh, totally. Oh,
will you do me a favor? Will you give him my sincere love? I directed Dirty Work.
Oh, really?
Really, really.
Oh, my God, I will. I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know Artie incredibly well. I love Artie. Please give him my love and tell him that I'm really happy he's doing well right now.
He is. He's doing great. I'll send your love for sure. Absolutely.
Please, please. And rub up against him. He likes that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well,
and
thank
talk
you,
dirty.
Al.
See what happens.
Yeah, about his mom.
Oh, he'll have
yeah.
No, no, about
yeah,
my mom.
He doesn't like about his mom.
Sorry, my mom. Sorry,
Tom's mom.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Allie.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Allie.
See you, Allie.
Bye.
So have we finished today in history?
We haven't done birthdays. Should we do those?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Leonard?
Time now, Leonard.
Long show, Bob.
Man.
You have no idea how happy I am.
Damn birthday.
Thank you, Leonard.
Born on this day, November 1st, 1942, Larry Flint.
No kidding?
Yes.
Standing ovation.
There it is.
And sadly, he's been in a wheelchair. Wasn't he shot by someone?
Long time ago.
And he's still doing okay. Well, I guess that's, you know.
Still
whatever.
Breathing.
Don't you do a Larry Flint?
No.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Yes, you do. You do a great Larry Flint impression.
Yeah, you do.
Isn't it just something like this? Are you not up to date on correspondence?
Oh.
Christy?
No, sorry. This will make you happy, chick. Born on this date in 1944. Kinky Friedman.
Oh,
I love Kinky Friedman.
Perfect.
I used to go
here
see him
go.
When I was a comedian.
So does Tom.
Here we go.
You uppity women, I don't understand why you gotta go try to act like a man. But before you make your weekly visit to the shrink, you better occupy the kitchen. I'll liberate the sink. Get your biscuits in the oven and your buns in the bed. That's what I do.
Sorry.
And before we get letters,
yeah,
that's satire.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
And it's comedy music from a while ago.
A long time ago.
Many decades in 1912.
Right.
Bob Saget is going to be on the TV tonight. A CMT. It's his new show, Nashville Squares, similar to Hollywood Squares, different geographical location. And among your guests, Bill Engvall, Caroline Ray,
Tanya Tucker, Dina Carter.
And you're the host.
Yeah, I am. I'm the host, and there's no script, so I get to say whatever I want.
What do they have you wear?
Whatever I want. I kind of got a little country, but not really. But they did one cool thing. They made me a nudie suit for the promos. Now, not naked.
Not naked,
right,
nudie.
No. Right, but what Johnny Cash wore.
Sure.
Right. Elvis wore, but not the onesie. You know, it's a suit, and it was made by this guy, Manuel, and he's 85, and he checked my inseam, and I want to tell you, this guy has soft hands. and he doesn't even look at it. He just goes, I know what to do. Don't do anything. That's my impression of someone that can write to me, maybe offended. But that's how we talked. I mean, what's wrong with something?
Do you wear the nudie suit?
I have it in my closet. I'm not going to wear it. I could have worn it last night.
For Halloween.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could have, but I'm not a big Halloween
guy. Those are super cool.
It is gorgeous what he did. And he put X's and O's on it to be the Hollywood Squares thing. And put my name inside the suit.
Oh, cool.
And then I see pictures of him with John Lennon, Roy Orbison, Johnny Cash, and all these people that I just, worship. Oh.
I should say welcome back to the Napa Auto Parts Studios. We are hanging out with Mr. Bob Saget. Bob also has a special coming up with Tom Bergeron, and you'll be going back over the famous videos.
And Alfonso and 30 Years of America's Funniest.
It's coming up in December?
December 8th.
Okay.
December 8th. And then Fuller House is coming on the end of the year on Netflix.
You mentioned Roy Orbison. Big fan here, but have you heard about this tour with you think I made this?
No, I do have a Roy Orbison story, which you won't have time for, but go ahead.
But Roy Orbison is on tour.
With Buddy Holly.
With Buddy Holly right now.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hologram. Have you heard about this?
No.
So this is a real thing. Yeah. The band gets up there, and then the artist, the decedent, if you will, at the same time, they
the
get
hologram.
Up there. And they play with it's you see what looks like Roy Orbison up there playing.
But it's film footage, and they turned it into
they
computerized it and gave it.
It involves a computer and really an actor weird. And some complicated, but.
That is so cool. I was on Letterman show once, and not that you asked, but I was, but Roy Orbison was there, and I went over to him, and my daughter was with me. She was like 3. She's 32 now. And I walk over to Roy, and I shook his hand, and I said, I just want to tell you, I just think the world of you, and I love your music, and it's such a pleasure to meet you. And he said, oh, thank you very much. And then I went right to the person next to him. I said, I just want to tell you, I think you're the most wonderful person. I did it 5 times. He was slapping his leg laughing. I was basically doing a sight joke, a joke about a self-effacing joke about his lack of sight. But he had some. He had peripheral. He had enough to know that I was tall and annoying.
Roy Orbison really was blind.
He had some vision issues, apparently. I thought he was just super shy and wore the shades.
Originally the song Crying was called Blying.
Time now for Things We Learned on the Bob and Tom Show, brought to you by Grainger. Delivering products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 60 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger, for the ones who get it. Done.
The original lyrics of Pretty Woman were Pretty Woman, or so I've heard. Okay, yeah. Pretty Woman.
You smell so good.
Yeah, thank Pretty you. Woman. We found out that Josh gave out Ring Pops for Halloween.
I did, yeah. Yeah, that's
a real disappointment.
Most people were thrilled, yeah.
Laced with.
Wow! Apparently, it's Sunday, at 2 a.m., it becomes 1 a.m.
Daylight savings time, we fall back.
No way.
Yeah, babe.
So does that mean what?
You'll get an extra hour of sleep.
I need that so bad. Uh-huh. What are you doing that night? And then in the new year, winter, spring, as the network tells me, because they live in some odd four-season world, it is videos after dark, which is the videos we could never run in prime time. So cool. You'll like that. You'll like that a lot. You'll want to lather up.
I'm sorry, was he talking to me?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Directing it at you.
You're very good with the guests.
Bob, you don't know how funny that is.
I get that a lot. No, I get that a lot.
No, there's some openness.
No, I'll open, then I'll close, then I'll leave it a crack.
No, but I don't even think of you as being sad or bitter. I just want to help you.
I get that too.
I want to help you. I want to nurture you.
I acknowledge that.
I want to take you to the fair.
Okay.
I'll buy you a balloon.
Can we go to the fair?
And before we let Bob go, I want to ask him a couple quick things. You mentioned that you've had, over the years as a stand-up, you've often opened for or had opened for you other artists. Let's go back in time. What bands have you had to open? Because that can be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Being a comedian in front of a band, if they're there to see the band and you...
There's one that's very random. It was called Max Webster. Now, Max Webster was counterpart of Rush. It was the people that didn't like Rush, so they started Max Webster. I believe it was Max Webster. And I played Maple Leaf Gardens. And I got on stage and I started singing some guitar parodies because I was 22. And Michael Cole was the promoter who also started Ticketmaster and also started Live Nation, no conflict of interest, and also managed the Rolling Stones, U2, and The Who. And he is a friend and a really cool guy. And so he was off the side of the stage, and I'm on stage, and I come out. After 1 minute, they're yelling, Max, 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 16,000 people with matches, because that guy who has a flatulation problem was in the audience. Right, yeah. And then I just literally over the microphone, after 2 minutes, I said, can I leave now? And he went, yes. And he motions yes. And I said, can I still get paid? This is over the mic. Audience wasn't listening. It was like I was on the phone with him. So he just like motioned for me in slow motion to come over. But I've had some real hell gigs, like, you know, in El Paso, chicken wire and people throwing bottles at you the whole time you're on stage.
Wow.
That's always good stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
But it builds character. If you don't bomb for 10 years, you're never going to be any good. I was there the night Bill Burr did that big famous thing in Philly.
Oh, sure.
I was there. It was the Obie and Anthony tour, and we were out, and there were nine of us. It was Louis Black and Louis C.K. and a lot of us, and Tracy Morgan, and I did half an hour in the middle, the sweet spot, because I'm not stupid. And but Bill went on early, and he was kind of green and kind of new, and then Philly started booing him, and it just escalated, and he said, it's probably the funniest 15 minutes I'd ever seen, where he said the worst things you could possibly say to a town. Hated, he named all their sports teams, hated them individually, hated them, hated their cheesesteak.
Rocky,
the whole thing. Gets off stage. He's in a cold sweat. You know, and you know Bill. He's like, he can be militaristic in a crazy way. Like, did you see that? I said, it was awesome. It was awesome. That's going to be historic for you. That's going to be a mark for you. You will have done what you did to that audience of, you know, 12,000 that was out there just now in Camden, New Jersey, will be something you'll never forget. And and then he always remembered that because it was encouraging, because I actually was watching the monitor and I thought it was great to be yelling at the crowd like that and to be right.
Now, have you ever had to do your stuff for a president?
I did stuff for George Sr., George Bush Sr. I don't know if you knew who I was talking about.
Washington.
Yeah, George Washington. Hey! George Jr., I helped him with his puppy paintings, but they're very pretty. I like the cats with the big eyes, but the velvet ones.
You did a set for elder George Bush when he was president?
For Arnold Schwarzenegger, I did a thing for athletics in the schools. So I did it on the Capitol steps, and I led this whole program, and Arnold said, you're doing good, you're a little flabby, but you're doing good. and he was very close, he and Maria were very close with the Bushes, and so not with the president, he just liked the
shrubbery,
landscape.
Thank you.
Topiary.
Is it a shrubbery?
Yeah. Josh no longer has any. Okay, back to you.
Right down on the
they don't care for me at all.
So I did that, and it was a very nice thing. I told some jokes, and a couple of them were PG, and I think he winced a little bit, but he liked me somewhat, and that was a pleasant experience. And I went back a few times for probably some people will go like lower their radio volume, but Hillary cared a lot about women's issues. And so I was at the White House meeting Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and she was helping women's issues. And my sister had this disease and we were trying to get cures, and she was helping tee us up at the Senate and go and talk to senators about how to get money at the NIH.
Oh,
yes, I've done, and I did do some comedy. I spoke to the NIH and I did jokes to them for like 5 minutes before I introduced this great lady who started the Scleroderma Research Foundation that I've been doing for 35 years. And I said, all of you make up your numbers. You know, who am I wrong? How many people say they have MS? Oh, 350,000. Oh, you made that up, right? And I was like, literally, like, not roasting, but I was just calling it as it is because we had to make up our numbers because there is no way to track who has what, how many people have diseases. You have to have centers that literally do test trials to find that out. It's always nice to leave on a disease note.
Now we can change the topic. Who's the most? You said you met Pete Townsend.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I just posted it on Instagram because I didn't think that he liked me. I went up to him and I said, I just wanted to meet you. I'm Bob Saget. I'm a comedian. He said,
and he said, what?
He said, no. He said, he said, I know who you are.
Oh.
I was like, oh, no, this is not good. And then I look at the picture and he's like in love with me. So he's a very good actor. But,
cool.
But I've met a lot of people.
Who's the most famous, do you think?
The most famous. I mean, I've pretty much met almost everybody. I mean.
You meet the Pope?
No, I didn't get that honor.
Muhammad Ali?
I met Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali came up to me. He was pretty badly stricken at the time with his MS, and he hugged me, and he whispered in my ear, I won't say the whole thing, he whispered in my ear, you're funny, man. And I said, champ, hit me as hard as you possibly can.
And then he said, I'd be happy to, Mr. Coulier.
He does think I'm Dave Coulier. No, he was, that was magical.
He's
me.
Probably, yeah, the, I that bet. Would be the most famous, I would think.
Yeah.
That was remarkable.
Pretty close.
Wow. I couldn't believe that happened. And I've had a couple other moments of people that I just look up to a lot, that I've loved their work or love things that they've done.
What's the protocol, the rules about asking someone for their phone number when you're at the level where you are, you meet all these famous people and you are one of them?
Well, the reason
at what
the,
point
Tom
you
wants
go,
your number.
No, 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 no.
I'll give Tom my number. The only reason to ask for it would be to communicate with them, and they have enough friends, and not to say that I don't, but I have great friends, and I don't want to be getting phone calls, and I have my kids to deal with and my wife, and so you
sure. You but if you have a legitimate reason, hey, we're working on this project, do you always go,
yeah.
Give me your manager's number? Is that the...
Well, I would just get... I don't even need that. I just call... I have people, so I have a lot of representation, so I just go, I want the email of blank, or, you know, I mean... You know, I'll see somebody I've known for years, like Conan, and we'll go, let's go to dinner. So we exchange our numbers. That's like an easy thing, you know.
And did that, you put them in your phone with their real names?
Yeah, because
or you
nobody's
put code in case my, anybody.
I am so close to going to my computer and just go erase iPhone. You know? So anybody starts it up and it's gone.
That'd be a fun project, though, to give all your famous friends fake names.
That's a good idea.
It'd be kind of fun.
I would never be able to figure or remember.
Remember him. Whose name you gave to whom?
He would never have that problem.
Chick, you'd have to give
He's
me...
He's the weirdest guy I know.
Tom does.
Think about it. Why don't you go through and if your name, you give him different names, or weird names.
How long have you known him?
35 years, man and boy.
And how did you guys meet each other?
Hallway. His dog in the hallway, and Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted the dog, and I went over and I said, hey, that's a nice dog. And then they fired me somewhere else, and they kept me on
we
here.
Hired him. We kept him here. We liked
so
him.
So you just
much.
Liked him right away. You knew he was a funny guy. Yeah, he is very funny.
I don't know about all that.
No, but. You're very funny.
Thank you, Bob.
It's a damn truth.
Yeah, it's very funny. Now, we have a...
Can I have your
I didn't
phone
mean to curse.
Can I have your phone number?
Can you...
it's blocked.
What fake name would you give me? So if
you
if you lost your
you're
phone,
in my name is you're in my phone is Tom. There's a lot of people in my name just first names. I don't know who they are. Like,
I had a good name in a hotel that I would use because a lot of times you have,
I love
to,
those.
You have to.
Right.
Mine was, and I have a parking a placard in the back of my car that I can use if I want Seymour Wiener.
Love it.
And you wouldn't get you. They wouldn't catch that when you checked into the hotel.
They would go. Oh, I had a girlfriend at the time, and it'd be, "Hello, Mr. Wiener. Hi, Mrs. Wiener." And she, no one likes that. But the funny part is, I met a guy in Hawaii years ago, and a friend of mine said, "Ask him what his name is," and he said, "Seymour Wiener," and I said, "Absolutely." And this man said he's had this name his whole life, and no one has ever said absolutely right after. I took him up on his invitation.
Yes,
I would do that to him.
Yeah.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
My name is David Goss, and I'm joined by my co-host, Megan Klinenberg.
Everything up until this point has been an outside look at the World Cup, and now we're giving people an inside look. It is just total pressure cooker.
Watching flags come out of little plastic balls is like the epitome of everything that I love. And the World Cup is everything. It's why I became a soccer fan.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.